Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 24 verses 13 through 27. This morning we will be looking at a passage that's referred to as the Emmaus Road. Sometimes Jesus on the road to Emmaus, the travelers on the road to Emmaus. It's a journey that they were taking, and we see even maybe more important than the physical travel that they were taking, it's that journey of faith, that spiritual journey that Jesus joined those travelers on, and how it is that he instructed them and guided them and led them to better understand the truth of his word. So Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 27. 24, verses 13 through 27. We will read that this morning. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us. When they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." Let's pray just as we approach God's word together. God, we pray that you would show us Christ, that we would see the truth of the gospel, that we understand that Christ came to deliver us and to free us from our sin, to reconcile us to you, that we would see Christ resurrected, the source of life to all who would believe. Lord, that we would see Christ just teaching, directing, leading, gently instructing, and building up the faith of those who are his own. And Lord, just as these two travelers needed all of these things, we know we need these things as well. And so we are thankful for your word that instructs us, and for your spirit who teaches us. And we pray that, Lord, through your word and the spirit in us today, we would be encouraged, or we would be challenged, and you would just change us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And we will dismiss our children, if they haven't left already, up to third grade, to head downstairs for children's church if they wish to go. The title of our message this morning is, "How Did You Miss That?" And we'll see that maybe from a few different angles this morning. And say, how so easy. Me, I was hesitate, even example, but to look at it and just even say, you know, the idea that a table saw is a dangerous piece of equipment. You know, they put labels all over those things to let you know it's dangerous, as if the 40 spinning teeth cutting through wood isn't enough to let you know it will do bad things to your hand. And yet, we don't listen or pay close enough attention. And here we've got two travelers who are confused. Two travelers who are discouraged because of the events that have taken place. And they missed some things in their discussion. They thought when Jesus approached them, he must have missed some things. He wasn't paying attention. And then Jesus teaches them and says, no, there's a few things that you have missed. And I'm going to teach it to you again, like he had over and over and over again before. For us to look at that and realize he teaches us and guides us and instructs us as well. So our first point is there in verses 13 through 16, where Jesus allowed them to evaluate what had happened. I'm going to I don't want to listen to myself. Just get rid of the echo. But Jesus allowed them to evaluate what had happened. These are, as it tells us, a couple of disciples, where it says two of them, probably going back to verse 9, where it said, we returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. They probably were a part of the all the rest, not part of the 11. Because we'll see later as they come back and they report to the 11 in verse 33. Come back next week and catch that. It says, they gathered together the 11 and those who were with them. So you realize, well, they weren't part of the 11, but they are two disciples. They are some who had followed Jesus, some who had listened to Jesus speak. And they were discouraged. They were headed home, maybe even thinking, well, there's no reason to stay in Jerusalem. Jesus died. We have reports of his resurrection. We don't have any idea where he is. So I guess it's back to Emmaus for us. So these followers moving along are having a discussion about what had happened, evaluating those things. And the language there used suggests even maybe a debate. There was an intensity to their discussion. This wasn't just rehearsing the things that had happened. Oh, you remember when that happened? Oh, I remember that. And just talking about all these things like they are news events. These are a discussion that maybe would go back and forth and say, well, yes, but what about this? Well, did you consider? But wait a minute, that doesn't account for, and they're going through all of these things, and well, how do you explain that? Probably included the events of the week, from Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, to the cleansing of the temple, to Jesus' trial and his death on the cross, the three-day wait, and then the reports that came back, and just trying to make sense of all of those things. It probably included everything that they had been taught from their childhood about the Messiah. Their discussion probably included Jesus' teachings as they walked with him throughout Israel on his various journeys and saw him doing those marvelous and fantastic works. But in all of that, they still had lost their hope. They were confused, even though they had been taught. They were discouraged and disappointed. Maybe every point that was made met with another question And just round and round and round they went. But then we see in verse 15, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. So Jesus walked with them and just listened. He just listened. In verse 16, it says, their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. Some think maybe that had something to do with his glorified body, or there might have been something slightly different that would have maybe put a veil between them they couldn't see. It certainly wasn't anything spectacular. He wasn't glowing or sparkling or anything like that. He looked like a regular person. That's the way all of his appearances had been. They think he's a gardener. They think he's just a traveler heading back home from Jerusalem just like they were. His body looked like a body, but maybe they couldn't recognize him. The language there suggests there's also the reality that God had hindered them from really being able to see clearly what was happening there. And as I look at that, I'm even thinking about them in confusion and things like that. Just even why God did what he did, and even Jesus to walk alongside of them, and he could have fixed the whole problem just by saying, hey guys, here I am. And, oh, good. Our problem was we couldn't see him. Now we see him. It's all good now. But Jesus knew that was not the best way for their faith to be strengthened for what was ahead of them, and just simply that they might truly and really believe. So he walks alongside. Don't have any idea how long they had been talking before Jesus got there. We have no idea how long Jesus walked with them before he opened his mouth and said anything. But he walked alongside. I also wondered about that, just thinking about what Jesus did, just letting them talk. So I'm trying to think, what was, if it were me, I'm trying to think, I'd be rolling my eyes, shaking my head, saying, it's time to put an end to this. This is ridiculous. But Jesus was patient. Jesus had a purpose in just waiting and in listening and letting things go round and round and round. And I'm just even thinking about, you know, us sometimes. I wonder, did you ever wonder what we sound like to God when we're questioning the things that he is doing? As he waits and waits and instructs until we finally maybe understand. But what about this? Well, I know this is what the Bible says this, but this circumstance might be a little bit different. We go round and round and round and we rationalize. We make excuses. We try to figure things out in our own wisdom. What do I need to do? Where do I need to go? And we're not coming up with answers either. We keep debating. We keep discussing. We keep thinking. I'll read another book. I'll listen to another podcast. I'll do something to try to figure these things out. And I wonder if God, if it were me, shaking his head, rolling his eyes, what is wrong with you? But Jesus walks, he's patient. God is patient with us. God has a purpose for us when we doubt, when we have questions and concerns. And he patiently and he lovingly hears and knows what's going on in our hearts. And he, through the Spirit and the Word, knows what he needs to bring to our hearts that we might be able to understand and believe. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing as we think about how God works with us. As we look at ourselves, just even humanly, how quickly frustrated we get. If you've ever had a discussion with someone who just does not listen, or will not hear. God does not get frustrated with us. He works and he works and he teaches and he teaches and he leads and he instructs. And according to his grace, he brings us to he completes that work which he has begun in us. So we move on to verse 17, where Jesus then asked them to explain their interpretation. The next step, really, in Jesus' plan to lead them to a better and clearer understanding of the truth. And this is where I look at these guys had to be saying, how could you have missed this? Where he said, what are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you are walking? Well, Jesus knew full well what they were talking about. It hadn't just happened, it happened to him. He was a central character in everything that they were talking about and the events that had taken place. And they stood still, it says, looking sad, which again just reveals even in their hearts just how they were thinking about these events. They were discouraged. And the fact they just stopped in their tracks. It wasn't just disbelief that Luke brings to our mind, but it's the sadness that comes from having really lost their hope in what Jesus Christ had come to accomplish. But then we see them, one of them, Cleopas, answered, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem? How could you not know what it is that had happened in these days?" And Jesus still doesn't reveal any more to them about himself. He just says, what things? You tell me what you think has just happened here. And they went about, and this is really our next point, their explanation of their interpretation. Well, the things about Jesus the Nazarene. First of all, they spoke about the impact of Jesus' teaching. He was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word in the sight of God and all the people. In their minds, just to understand what they understood, there was no denying that Jesus Christ was a prophet. He was a mighty prophet who did things that no one else had done, and he, in his word, taught things that no one else was able to teach with the same authority as Jesus taught with. They recognized him to some degree. They had a great respect for him. They had great reason to hope in him and believe. But now these circumstances had caused them to question and had caused them to doubt. Next, they said they shared about Jesus' trial, where they said in verse 20, the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. So they talk about his trial and his death and all the things that had happened. You know, again, maybe to think about their confusion, realizing what it is that they had believed and what it is that they had done. Their high priests, their rulers. Well, they had been following them for years. They had been taught by them for years. The things they really understood from the Old Testament and their teaching was taught maybe by some of these men or men who had been taught by them. But Jesus comes along, Jesus is teaching, and they walk away from what they once knew, what they once followed, and now they're following Jesus. Jesus, who had taught against what the chief priests, the Pharisees, and the rulers had spoken. They had chosen to follow Jesus, and now Jesus is gone, nowhere to be found. That's part of even the rulers. Wait a minute, now what do we do? Maybe adding to their confusion. You know, we've always heard this before. We know that's true, but trying to put all the pieces together. Maybe going back, tempted to go back to some of those things. Or thinking, if we don't go back there and Jesus isn't here, where does that leave us? There was some confusion there as they thought about the trial. And then in verse 21, finally they revealed where they were having trouble. Where is the problem in their thinking? He said, we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it's the third day since these things had happened. So we see their expectations were not met. They had placed their hope in Jesus Christ, that he was going to redeem them, maybe more importantly, from the Roman government who was oppressing the Jews of that day. And that's as maybe as far as they got in understanding the Messiah and not fully seeing what the death of Jesus Christ accomplished for them as far as redeeming them and freeing them from the curse of sin. But Jesus had not met their expectations. And secondly, they had not seen him. The reports came in. The women, they amazed us. They went to the tomb this morning, very early, and they didn't find his body. They said that they saw angels who told them that he was alive, but we haven't seen him. And then 24, some other people went too. They didn't see him either. Maybe even at this point saying, well, we had hope that he was going to do this. Maybe not fully understanding how. Certainly not thinking he was going to die to accomplish it. But now it's been 3 days. We remember him saying something about 3 days. Even saying that he was going to rise again in 3 days. But where is he? You know, again, I think in my simple mind, I think it would have been nice if Jesus said, I'm going to die, and in 3 days I'm going to rise again. And remember that rock that we always went to pray? That's where I'm going to be. If I'm not in my tomb, you go to the rock, you're going to find me there. Everything's going to be wonderful. But he purposely did not just show up and reveal himself to them. Realizing that struggle that they were going to have in their hearts was not going to be bad for them. Maybe challenging them a little bit, making them think, do I believe this or not? Do I believe the reports or not? They really kind of falling into the same trap that Thomas did when the reports came back and they said, and he says, I'll believe it when I can see it with my own eyes. If I could put my fingers in the nail prints of his hands and my hand into his side, then I will believe. I think if we could only see all of this trouble and this difficulty would be left behind. But the reality is the next time they couldn't see everything that God was doing with their own eyes, if they couldn't explain everything that was happening, they wouldn't want to trust God then either. They'd still say, believe it when I see it. God, can't you just show me? If you don't show me, I'll figure it out for myself. Because they have to have something that's tangible. But then that tangible thing that they're looking for is found in their wisdom and the strength of their own flesh. As we look at what Jesus points them to, which is just as clear and absolutely more certain than what they're thinking ever could be. He says they're just trying to figure it out. Not sure whether they could believe the reports or not. I think Jesus let them do this. We'll just let you try to explain what's going on. Jesus didn't need to learn about what had happened in the events, because again, we said he was there. He didn't need to know what their minds and their hearts thought about the events that had taken place, because he understood and could see that as well. But he draws them out so that they might be able to hear from us. This really kind of gets to the bottom of it. This is what our hope is. This is why we're discouraged. This is what we believe. And he makes they make those statements to him. And then we get to verse 25 as Jesus responds to them. And Jesus addressed them with an education from the scriptures. Jesus addressed them with an education from the scriptures. This is not really a rebuke. I guess you say the words there really kind of suggest an encouragement. It's hard to read and not read rebuke when you hear, "O foolish men and slow of heart." Maybe they would have understood it differently. I even think about just the fact, you know, again, if I were there and I were one of these people, it says, "Oh, foolish men and slow of heart, not to believe all the prophets have spoken." If I'm one of the travelers, I'm thinking, what do you know? You don't even know what happened. But Jesus tells them, this is what you've missed. You've missed something. In all that the prophets have spoken, they probably were discussing what the prophets had spoken. In all the things that Jesus said, they missed it, even though they're probably discussing the things that Jesus taught them. There's a whole lot of truth that they probably were going round and round with, but they were struggling to really believe it. He says, you're slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Maybe not even to understand or to know. Not guys that didn't know anything, but just struggling to believe. And he says in verse 26, was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory? And that's where Jesus speaks of the necessity of these events. The necessity of these events. It had to happen. It had to. Even to look at that and saying he had to suffer these things and enter into his glory. Even referring back to their interpretation, their explanation of things that had happened. Our chief priests and rulers put him to death. They crucified him. He says, yeah. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things? You ought not be surprised at the suffering that Jesus Christ had to go through. He'll explain even later as we talk about all scriptures, but we can understand that it is necessary for Jesus Christ to suffer. There must be a sacrifice and a payment for sin. We could not do that. Jesus had to die and shed his blood that sins could be forgiven. They were thinking Jesus had come and he was, as the Messiah, going to redeem them. Well, maybe redeem him without dying. Redeem them without suffering. Everything was going to be glory. And he says, no, that's not the case. He had to. It is necessary for Christ to suffer. It was necessary for Christ to die, for that's the only way any one of us, the only way that they could be redeemed. And then he says, after that happened, after he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on the cross. Then the Father exalted him and gave him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, then every knee would bow and every tongue confess. Then he will be exalted. Then we'll see the glory. And even for them, realizing, even going back there, they hadn't lost their hope altogether. They still understood there was a hope for Israel. They just thought Jesus was the one that was going to deliver it. And they thought, because he's gone, well, I guess now isn't the time. What they missed was that there was a far greater redemption that was taking place than the redemption that they were anticipating. Being freed from Rome would last until the next empire came in. Being freed from their sins gives them eternal life. Being freed from their sins would give them reconciliation to God. And they didn't see that. They didn't understand that. And that is the real truth and joy of the gospel, is our spiritual lives that are rooted in that and flow from it. And then we see in verse 27, it says, beginning then with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Well, Jesus revealed himself to them through the scriptures. Started in the Pentateuch, maybe Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that the seed of the woman would be bruised on the head in the process of crushing his enemies beneath his feet. Maybe looking at the prophets in Isaiah 49, 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That the chastisement of our peace might be laid on, our sins laid on him, that we might be saved, that we might be forgiven. He says, all this stuff you were taught, you should have known he was going to suffer. Looking at the Psalms and those Psalms which point to Jesus Christ, that point to his suffering, that point to his glory, the truth about the Messiah. He says, it's in there. And I think it was a Wednesday night not long ago, somebody mentioned, if you don't think the Old Testament teaches about Jesus Christ, Jesus tells you you're wrong. It shows us Christ. As we keep reading, we look at the Gospels, they show us and tell us about Christ. The Epistles, they show us, they tell us about Christ. The Word of God reveals to us Jesus Christ, and that's what he took them back to. I think all of that, even in his purpose and his plan, he understood that they needed to see him. But they didn't need to see him with their eyes. They needed to see him with a faith in what God had revealed to them in his word. Because Jesus was going to leave again, and his word is what they'd be left with. His word was going to give them confidence. His word was going to give them hope. Jesus was not going to come down from heaven every time they had a doubt and say, look, I'm still here. They needed to believe the word. So what does Jesus do? He takes them to the word. You know, for us, looking at those things, I don't know that we are in the same place. There may be some here in the same place that these two travelers are, saying, I don't know whether to believe any of this stuff about Jesus. I've got a lot of doubts. I've got a lot of confusion. I heard about it. I kind of believed it. I think it's good. But with all this other stuff that's going on in my life, I'm just not sure whether it's all true. He says, well, you need to see him and understand him from his word. There may be others that say, I have no problem believing in Jesus Christ. I believe in his death. I believe in his resurrection. I believe he had a sinless life. I believe that he is God. I believe that he was born of a virgin. I believe all the things the Bible teaches me about Jesus Christ. Well, maybe the conversation he'd have with us, with these walking with us, is if you trust me for that, then why don't you trust me with everything else? What is it that you're missing about what I've revealed to you in your word and who you are in Jesus Christ and how it is that I've changed your heart and I've given you life and I help you to be obedient. I help you to stand when everything else has fallen down around you. Realize we have doubts. We have concerns and fears and those things. And it's important for us to realize the word of God is where our hope and our confidence lies. Man, when I'm struggling with anything else and I can't get my head around it, to remember who I am in Jesus Christ and the hope that I have in him. And that will sustain us and guide us through even maybe the darkest times. I'm like them, what are we missing? We need the word. We are thankful that God patiently teaches us over and over and over again. Maybe sometimes, oh, you foolish, foolish man and slow of heart. Let's go over this again. But he does it with love and gentleness and grace. And it's so good to know that's how he works with us and that the truth he's given to us is our foundation as we seek to live our lives for him. Let's pray. And we'll sing and close our service. So God, we thank you again for today and for the truth about Jesus Christ that you have revealed in your word. Lord, it is truly a joy to know him. And Lord, forgive us for when we sometimes think that we know better. We neglect your word. And we don't read it. Maybe we read it and we just don't listen. Because we think we can figure it out. Continue to teach us, to continue to correct us, or that we might walk in your truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.